been talking to ourselves for like half an hour. I guess that's more bonus content.
We'll upload that on Patreon or something. We still gotta upload that Mario 64 audio.
Oh my god.
Nintendo stuff.
Dude, somebody end me.
Okay.
Somebody end me.
All right. Okay. So we have been talking to each other and not you guys for half an hour.
Honestly, I feel like that was a warm up. Now that like the frustration has set in, I'm like, man, I've been talking for half an hour. I think we're good to go. So I guess we can kind of recap some of it and then go back into some of it. Because I would like to like actually have this recorded and out on the internet.
Mm-hmm. You should have said something on the stream. I had no idea.
So
I was getting notifications.
Welcome to Nintendo Stuff.
Episode 58.
Episode 58, where we start talking, and the audio is definitely recorded.
Yeah, we'll give that to you guys as a bonus on Patreon.
Yeah, we're just going to keep screwing up, and that's going to be our bonus Patreon content from now on.
Be sure to engage your thighs as you restart the podcast. Thank you, Joe. Hi, guys. I was wondering what was going on.
I was expecting, like, a little bit more, like, interaction on the chat. I was like, what happened? I mean, there's somebody. I mean, even like Sandman commented, and I was like, that was it?
He said party people. I just assumed he was here.
All right, we got this going. This is totally working.
So it's funny because this is not the first time this has happened. The first time this has happened, I left the stream as unlisted on accident.
Oh, and we just did the
whole episode.
We're so good at this.
So welcome to episode 58 of Nintendo Stuff Podcast. This is the pajama episode.
This is the pajama episode. We're wearing pajama episodes. We did it a whole bit, and then now it's gone.
It's gone. All right, I'll refresh you guys.
We're comfy boys.
So, yeah, I'm wearing my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pajama pants.
Deja vu.
Yeah, we've been here before. They're very comfy. I have them rolled up right now because it's kind of hot in the studio. I checked the thermostat, and we're having the exact opposite problem that we had at the beginning of the week.
It's too hot.
Yeah, so, like, my furnace went out at the beginning of the week, and on the last day before we got it fixed, it was almost sub-50 degrees. It was getting bad.
Not my room, though.
No, because you have a space heater. that said, now we're having the opposite problem, and I checked the thermostat. Excuse me, and it was like 74 degrees, and I'm like, oh, that's too much.
Too much.
We need to dial it back. It's 73 degrees in the room right now. And you were doing a little bit of Beat Saber.
Oh, yeah, I got sweaty.
That definitely, like, makes the room a little bit hotter. But
and stinky.
Yes.
Very stinky.
I had you spray it up a little bit before we got started. This is the fitness room as well as the studio, so it tends to get a little musky in here.
Musk.
Because this is the room I do Ring Fit.
Yeah, and I do Beat Saber.
And I definitely don't want to do Ring Fit like in the basement because that's a hard floor.
Yeah, I'd be hard on your feet.
Yeah, and I'm not about that. So I'm on my soft, cushiony carpet and doing it in the studio. So the big news of the week, and if you were here with us last week, we are now in the post Terry timeline. So Terry is now available in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. There's one character left to be revealed in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And you seem to have the most varied opinion, I think, on Terry compared to everyone else I've talked to.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing for me is just the way that Terry feels like a gateway drug to more traditional fighting games.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's okay, obviously with Ken and Ryu, there was the directional input for the Hadouken, you know.
And the Tatsumaki Senpu Kyaku.
Yeah, that. but then, like, Terry, like, they added a few more, especially once she hit that 100% damage, you know.
Yeah, so he has kind of this, it's not really a catch-up mechanic, but basically, once you're over 100% damage, it starts flashing go on his character icon, and he has access to new moves, such as the Power Geyser, which is kind of an expanded version of the Power Wave attack, which is his neutral B. And if, according to Sakurai, if you're facing your opponent, you press down, swing back, and swing towards your opponent and hit B. And he punches the ground, and a big geyser explosion takes place. And it's a really, really powerful attack. Before we started this episode, I was watching Izaw Smash. Sorry if I pronounce that wrong, but basically he does these kind of tutorial videos on how to break into competitive play with certain characters, and he released the one on Terry today. And everyone seems to be of the opinion that Power Geyser might be a little busted.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a good attack.
It's a good attack.
But like the trade-off is like Terry has to be incredibly highly damaged,
right,
in order to gain access to it. Like, he's at kill percent by the time he can use that move. That said, Terry can kill you at almost any percent in the game, I've learned. So there might be a little bit of tweaking that needs to take place.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's like a time limit for that kind of thing, or a certain amount of times you can just attack it, or maybe it damages you every time you use it.
That would be a good trade-off. I think, you know, that wouldn't stay true necessarily to Fatal Fury and King of Fighters, so
right,
maybe they don't want to do that. But that's not the only move he gains access to. He gains access to my favorite move, maybe in all of Super Smash Brothers. I mean, like, even better than Falcon Punch.
Oh.
To me, I love Buster Wolf, because I love the fact that they didn't dub Terry completely into English. It's still a Japanese person saying his lines in English, which has a really wonderful effect on the way the words come out.
Right.
So he says, Buster Wolf, and I love it. So basically, he lunges at the opponent, and if he connects, it basically becomes a command grab, and he punches, and then after the punch, his fist kind of explodes backwards, and the opponent flies back really far. It's a really, really, really cool attack, and his signature move.
Yeah. Also, this, I mean, I'll mention the other one that I'm, like, aware of, which is the, is it, like, quarter circle back, and then, like,
The flipping kick attack?
Yeah.
I forget the name of that one.
But that one, I was able to get that one down, and that one felt really good to perform once you're able to successfully get the input.
Yeah, so quarter circle backward. And that's another cool thing about Terry, is like he has a different forward B and backwards B attack.
Mm-hmm.
So like he has one extra special, not counting the two other ones he gets later on, than other characters, which I think is cool. So yeah, quarter circle back is that kind of flipping kick. Quarter circle forward, I believe, is the, what is it, blazing knuckle? Or burst knuckle. It's something like that. He lunges forward with a punch. It's kind of like Buster Wolf, but he kind of goes through the opponent.
Yeah.
And then I think it's down, forward, and then come back a little bit. I could be wrong about that one. And that's power dunk. And that's my fire alarm.
Dude, this is so great. So I love how, like, we can talk for half an hour and it doesn't go out. And then we finally get rolling.
And
then,
that's when,
like,
stuff starts happening.
Yeah, that's when other stuff starts happening.
It's okay. Things happen.
Oh, man.
X the Man says, I like Terry, but I can't do his inputs because I suck.
You just got to practice them. And if you can't, even after that, I mean, that's okay. I mean, if you like playing Terry, but it is going to limit, you know, your options playing
there
Terry.
There are some simplified versions of the input commands that still give you the power bonus but aren't as hard to pull off.
Mm-hmm.
So for Buster Wolf, when you're over 100%, it's quarter circle forward, then the attack button. You
yeah.
just got to do it quick. If that's too hard for you, you can actually just down angle, and hit B, and it'll work. So I'm sure we'll discover more of those as time goes on. I'm sure that one isn't intentional, and because of that, I'm pretty sure the other attacks will also have unintentional inputs.
For sure.
And Sakurai even went over a couple in the presentation, saying, like, you know, if this is too hard for you, just, you know, hit down, hit forward, rather than sliding the whole stick around. So maybe practice that and see if that helps you out.
Yeah.
Because I think that this kind of character, like you said, is a good gateway into more traditional fighting games.
Yeah, no, I mean, it got me in the mood to play Soul Calibur this morning.
Yeah, and we played Soul Calibur 6. We did, like, 10 matches.
Yeah, 11.
We did 11?
Yeah, we did 11.
Oh, we had a tiebreak.
Yeah, it was 5-5, and then you beat me on the last one.
Hey, that was a pretty even set, though.
It was a pretty even set.
Yeah.
Even though there was an odd amount of matches.
Yeah, so I think Terry is a great character. One thing we didn't talk about on the first take of this show, good thing we're doing a second one, is his stage. I think his stage is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's really simple. Obviously, just having, like, those invisible walls that you actually have to break through. Obviously, now you can't just... It's not technically... It is like a walk off, but you can't just walk off the stage.
Yeah, so you can't like biff somebody off the edge of the stage or yeet them, because if they're not high enough percent, they're not going to break through.
Yeah.
He did say like at lower percents, it is possible if you're right against the wall. But in my experience so far, it's not enough just to, you know, it's not enough to like cheap out a KO.
Right. Especially since if you get knocked into the wall, chances are you're going to get it bounced away from the wall.
It's a good stage for funny combos. Mm-hmm. And the special effect, like the zoom effect that happens when you actually break through the wall, especially in 1v1s, is really cool. So
yes,
like one of the big things in Ultimate was all of like the show stopping things they kind of added for 1v1s for tournament play. And because it's like a different kind of stage, they have a replacement animation that plays when you die in that. So like you hit the wall, you break through, it zooms in really close, the glass turns red and it goes into slow motion and you break through the wall.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And the reason they designed the stage that way is because they want it to feel more like a traditional fighting stage where it's just two opponents, they're in a box, and they have to duke it out.
Yep.
I like that because there's no other stage like that in Smash Brothers except for Shadow Moses Island, which has the breakable walls on the sides.
Right.
But it's fundamentally very different.
Yeah, I mean, once you break it, it's just gone for a certain amount of time before it regrows. Whereas this is like, it's going to be there every time.
Yeah. And I don't know if I like this stage as much in, like, more than two players. I don't know. We'll have to do more of that. But, like, one-on-ones, I think this is a fun stage to play on.
Right.
Probably not something that the competitive community is going to adopt.
Probably not. They're kind of...
They know what they want.
Exclusive, yeah.
That said, I do think this is a fun stage if you're doing some casual friendlies with someone. Because there are stages like Hanenbo where I will purposely just not play on it because I don't enjoy it.
Oh. I like to put Hanenbo out there because everybody else hates it.
Fair enough. So I think Terry is a pretty successful character. It got me to buy Garo Mark of the Wolves a week before his launch, and I played that with Dylan for a few hours, and we really enjoyed it. And that's not even something I really expected out of myself, because I don't buy a lot of traditional fighting games, just because, you know, it's not something I've ever been exceptionally good at.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like you said, just having that kind of character kind of introduced into Smash Brothers slowly is giving me the tools necessary to... you know, break into the other side of this
fighting game scene. You know, compared to a lot of other fighting games, Smash has like a fairly limited amount of actual moves, you know, in any character.
And it's more of a freeform game than like a traditional fighter.
Right. So having a character where there are these inputs and extra rules, you know, is certainly, again, like a bridge of sorts to more traditional fighting mechanics.
Yeah, and far more so than I think Ryu and Ken, mm-hmm. just because of those added elements that they gave Terry. So, with Terry being out, that leaves us with one character left. And in the first take of this podcast, we talked about kind of what our expectations for that are. And I feel like this is pretty much the way everyone feels, but just to recap, I do think the character is going to be announced at the Game Awards.
Yeah, and I actually have a prediction. I think it's not going to be Geno, and it's not going to be Doom Guy.
More on that in the Patreon exclusive audio that our listeners will get to experience. Good job. I like that.
Thanks.
So I have a kind of a different idea for how this is going to go down than I think some other folks do. You mentioned that you think it will it'll be announced and then dropped after the show.
Yeah, I think that's a fair bet. I mean, at this point, like, again, it's so under wraps. Unless that's just indicative of they're like, oh, wait, we actually, like, we don't know what to do with this character and we're still working on it. It's going to take till the end of February to actually release it. I mean, at least it's within 4 months.
Yeah. And I mean, there's precedence for this because they did it with the second DLC pack for Breath of the Wild, where they gave us the full reveal, they showed us the motorcycle, and then they dropped it after the show.
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly how it's going to go down. I do think it'll be announced at the Game Awards, but I think the character will be revealed, or excuse me, released the next day. Because the last several characters have had kind of this Sakurai breakdown and presentation that revealed both the character, their moveset, kind of their history, and then some of the updates that were coming to the game alongside them. So I think we're going to get that the day after, and then the character will be revealed after, or released, excuse me, released after that. And, you know, it's, and that's perfect too, because the Game Awards are on a Thursday, which would make the character available on Friday.
Yeah, which is great for people who have regular weekends.
And kids.
And, well, they have regular weekends.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah, so that's kind of how I see that going down. And we didn't talk about this in the first take, but I feel like that's not all we're going to get.
You think we're going to get Super Smash Bros. Ultimate 2?
In a sense, yes. I think we're going to get a glimpse at what's next.
So, like, the next, like, big chunk, the next plan for the game.
Yeah, so Sakurai has already informed us, you know, with the Banjo presentation that there will be more DLC fighters on the way. So I think that the Game Awards is a great place to both end the first chapter of Smash Brothers DLC and give us a picture at the second chapter of Smash Brothers DLC. Whether that's a full character reveal or a character tease or some kind of tease, I don't know, but I don't think they're not going to talk about it. There's going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
It might be really little. It might be a full character reveal. I don't know, but I don't think it makes sense just to have that character, drop it the next day, and then not have anything else to say, because that invites the wrong kind of speculation. You know what I'm saying? Because the Smash community and the Nintendo community is especially bad about this. When Nintendo isn't saying anything, the fans start speculating and expectations start getting made that are completely unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
So Nintendo and Sakurai and Smash Brothers, they need to set expectations early so that, you know, reception is better. And I talked about this in the first take. Sakurai has been pretty intelligent in the way that he's introduced every single step of DLC. You know, I don't know if he's the one making those decisions or if he has some experts behind the scenes who are kind of guiding him through that. But, you know, having Dragon Quest, having Hero and Banjo both at E3, one at the beginning, one at the end, to kind of ease both the West and Japan, I think that was a great move. Starting the Game Awards last year with Joker, which is a more recognizable character across all regions, and being a newer character, I think, is important too. And then having Terry just kind of announced with Banjo, just kind of discreetly, I think was a great move, because that introduces that character to a lot of Westerners who probably don't have a lot of experience with SNK. Because arcades just, they kind of fizzled out here in the United States. So I imagine Terry Bogard and the rest of the SNK cast are probably more well-known in Japan than here.
I would think so. I mean, I didn't really consider, you know, SNK much until the Switch era. And not too long before they started talking about how Terry's the new character, you know? Yeah.
So because of that, I think it makes the most sense to give us that first glimpse of the second chapter of Smash before there's too much time for people to get way too ridiculous about it. Because you know how that always goes. Like, DLC for Smash 4 worked a little bit differently, where characters were just kind of revealed whenever. And that invited the wrong kind of speculation. I remember when Bayonetta finally got revealed in that final presentation, and people were angry.
I don't remember people being angry, but I don't remember of things.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty big into Smash Brothers and following all that kind of stuff, so, you know, I see that firsthand.
Right.
And that hasn't happened with Ultimate a whole lot, because I think they've been just really strategic in how they've presented information and delivered on it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely does make a difference, especially when, you know, depending on the character, like, they might have a bigger splash, or maybe you need to kind of, like, you know, kind of just do a mention and then let it kind of build.
I think we have a perfect, like, counter to this happening right now with Pokemon and Game Freak, because the way they've revealed information may or may not be, you know, detrimental to the way fans have been responding to it.
No, I think that's just some people being awful and, like, not understanding how development goes.
That's certainly true. But, you know, maybe Game Freak and the Pokemon Company could have found different ways to approach having to talk about those things and maybe, you know, softening the blow a little bit. Because they waited a while to tell us that the Pokedex was going to be slashed. And
yeah,
I don't think
I guess
that worked
that's,
out for them.
I mean, that's a fair point, though. I think in the end, I think that news would have been...
It would have been bad regardless. Yeah. People would have been upset anyway. But.
I think it's actually good that they waited a minute, right? Because ultimately, I don't think it really matters all that much. Like,
yeah,
people are going to complain. But at least you can be like, oh, look at all the great things about the game and how much other things we're doing. Okay, now let's talk about how we don't have the National Pokedex.
That's true. But, I mean, the problem with that is, like, people have been discounting now the things that they've announced before and saying, why are they putting all this time into these things when they could have just put all the Pokemon in the game, which I think is so stupid.
No, yeah, it's... You know, I don't think we'll ever know, obviously, because we can't go back and, like, just recreate, you know, and redo it. But I think, honestly, it'll blow over once the game launches, and especially if the changes are really, you know, meaningful to the gameplay. The Pokemon purists will eventually break and just get their Pokemon because that's what they'll do.
Yeah.
And then other people who don't really give a crap about it look at all the new stuff, and they're like, hey, I think I'm going to pick up Pokemon. I think this game will do great. Obviously, I think it'll do better than Let's Go, and not to mention that the, you know, Switch install base is a lot larger than when Let's Go dropped.
Yeah, and this will also service increasing that install base too, I think, better than Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee did.
Oh, absolutely. Partially because it's a mainline game, and there's
and
a lot
new
of
one.
Yeah, and a lot of. Lot of things that were not included in previous generations or even the remake of Yellow.
Yeah. Speaking of Pokemon, it comes out in 5 days. We're hitting the finish line on that.
Yeah. It hasn't been hitting me this time around. Like, obviously there's some things around it, but I just know, again, like I've mentioned this a million times, is like I haven't really finished many Pokemon games, and the ones I've tried, they kind of fizzle out. So, like, I'm afraid that, like, if I just go into it or buy it, and they'll just fizzle out again. You know, this might be something that I revisit at a later time.
I had that experience with the with Pokemon Y and Sun, where I played through them and then stopped and then didn't finish them for a long time. That said, I'm pretty sure I know the reason why, and that's because they were on the 3DS.
Yeah, that I think that does have a big part of it. Like, eventually, I just stopped wanting to play on my 3DS.
I just wanted to stop playing in handheld. I blazed through Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu,
mm-hmm.
but it was on a TV in HD.
Right.
So I feel like I'll have a better experience with Pokemon Sword and Shield. In the fact that I'll probably beat it in the first couple of weeks this time.
Right.
But that remains to be seen. I do think this will be a pretty important entry in the series. Game Freak has also mentioned that there's a good chance that future titles will not have a full Pokedex ever again.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you're upset about that, it might be time to start accepting it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work, and again, like, the games are getting more intensive, and there's going to be more work that's involved in that, and so it's just going to, I mean, unless they really change the way they go about development, like, it's going to be hard to overcome that hurdle.
I do think, like, over time on a singular platform, that they should be adding more Pokemon over time, and
certainly.
Maybe eventually getting back to that full Pokedex again, so... you know, I've not been that upset with the whole Pokedex stuff up until now, and I'm still really not. But hearing that, you know, where they don't plan maybe on adding the rest of the Pokedex going forward, that does read a little strange to me. But, you know, who knows? Like you said, we don't really know what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, unless you really have some insight into development or how these games are made. Like, it's not really much you can say, and it's not... not really a sound rebuttal to be made if you don't understand that stuff, which is mostly the internet, you know.
Unfortunately, so.
So, I mean, that being said, the game's out pretty soon, and it is being celebrated within Tetris 99 with the Maximus Cup,
as they've been doing with a lot of games.
Yeah. So, I mean, that will finish up tomorrow evening. I think. Like 11 Pacific time.
Okay.
So if you haven't already and you want that theme, now's the time to get playing on it. I mean, it's pretty easy, right? Like, you just have to get like 100 event points, and you get 5 just for participating. So yeah, at max, it's going to take you 20 rounds.
They're really not asking you a lot.
Yeah. Just, you know, play a little bit and get her done. That being said, I probably should play that because I like collecting those themes. I did it during the Luigi's Mansion Maximus Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon Sword and Shield is something I'd like to add to my collection in Tetris 99.
I've been thinking about it, and it'll be a while before they really have another one to throw in there, because we're kind of after Pokemon, there's kind of nothing until February.
Yeah.
Or January with Tokyo Mirage Sessions. I forgot about that.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions, and then March with
Animal Crossing.
With Animal Crossing, unless it gets pushed back. And if it gets pushed back, I'll riot. But yeah, oh my gosh, Animal Crossing Maximus Cup, I will play the heck out of that.
That does leave their February open, but I think we'll know sooner or later what will be out in that month, if
anything. Captain Rainbow.
I have a feeling it's going to be Super Mario 3D World.
You think so?
I do.
Like, that'd be a pretty dope release.
Last January, we had new Super Mario Brothers U. So why not just fill it with a Mario re-release? I'll buy it again because I love that game.
I mean, already even without that, like, there's no shortage of games already that if you haven't played, there's probably a back catalog, right? There's probably some games here or there that, like, oh, I didn't get a chance to play this, and now there's a little bit of a lull in the release schedule, so I can go back and experience that.
X the Man says it's actually 5 points if you're top 80 in Tetris 99. It's 1 if you get anything less.
Did they change it?
I don't know.
Because that is not how I've experienced it. Regardless, top 80. Oh, I guess. Cool.
Have you ever placed under that?
I don't know.
Have you ever gone out in the first 2 seconds?
Oh, yeah, but I've never gotten anything less than 5.
Well, you haven't participated in all the events, right?
No, so maybe they've changed them, because I don't know why you'd give out, like, the way it's structured, why you'd give out even less than 5.
I think, at the same time, like, a higher percentage of players are going to place top 80, you know?
Oh, obviously. I mean, there's 80 spots versus like the 19 that don't get into,
right.
Get into those spots. You know, it's not like it's that hard to just survive, mm-hmm. for, you know, a certain amount of time. So overall, pretty easy to get those themes that they're offering.
What else we got on the docket?
Yeah, so I guess because Nintendo's been releasing all these great games, that the Nintendo Switch has been selling pretty well. We talked about, I don't know if it was on the last podcast or the one before that, how they've hit over 40 million units sold. And specifically, they have hit over 10 million sold just in Japan.
In Japan, yeah, which is pretty big.
So I imagine we'll see a big bump after this holiday season. Specifically,
I can't wait to
Pokemon.
See the next quarter results, yeah.
So...
the next quarter results include Animal Crossing, or are we going to have to wait
no,
after that?
No, they'll be after. Like,
March is the beginning of the fiscal year, right?
Yeah. I mean, the quarters are literally the 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And we just got some. So, I don't think it'll include it because that's in the latter half of March anyway.
Right.
So, and then there obviously there's an offset between when the quarter ends and then when they announce all of the
results.
The results, yeah. So, but I mean, obviously Nintendo has certainly recovered from the Wii U era. So,
I mean, the Switch has sold more than double than Wii U's lifetime sales.
It sold more in the U.S. than it than the Wii U sold just
everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's so sad.
Yeah.
We were at GameStop yesterday, and I saw a lonely Wii U sitting behind the used console shelf, and I think it was one of two whole systems in the display. It was a big display, and there was just a Wii U there and something else.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's the GameStop my Wii U ended up at. So for all I know, that's my Wii U.
That's your Wii U. They've been pretty cheap, so if you really want to pick up a Wii U, that's an option. But also, you can play most of the games on the Switch at this point, so what's the point? Unless you really want to play specifically Nintendo Land, because I don't think we'll be able to get that on the Switch. We probably could, but...
I'd love that.
That being said, there's some new games out on the Switch this week. Specifically talking about a game that was just kind of a shadow drop.
Yeah, and I think it had one whole day in Japan before it came out here.
Yeah, like we saw some trailers and they're like, when is this coming out in the US? And then a day later they're like, here it is, okay. It's called The Stretchers. And it's essentially like it's a weird combination of
Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, like Crazy Taxi and
what's that new game that came out recently? It's like top down and you're like moving furniture out of houses and stuff.
Yeah,
it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, so it looks like it's got a lot of personality. It's Nintendo published. Mm-hmm. It's developed by Tarsier Studios, which is, I don't know if I'm saying that right,
but
Tarsier, whatever.
Something
it's
like
the studio behind Little Nightmares, which is another game that I have to finish. But yeah, it looks great. I was really impressed by it, and hopefully I'll have more to say because I would love to play it.
It's a budget title, right? Like $20?
Yeah, it's cheaper.
Yeah, it looks like a really fun co-op game. Yep. I love the physics of, you know, driving the ambulance like off of ramps and jumping into people's backyards and
or
stuff.
Or like getting people on the stretcher and they're kind of the ragdoll physics. Yeah. So like, oh no, if you don't move correctly, they might fall off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like there's a ton of personality and what a nice surprise.
That feels like something that would have been announced in an indie presentation or like just kind of thrown somewhere in a Nintendo
Other than
Direct.
The fact that it's Nintendo published. And,
right.
I mean, even the colors, the red and the blue that they use for the characters is
Our
reflective
Joy-Cons.
Of the Joy-Cons. So they really kind of dove into that. There's another new game that has come out this week. And this one is significant, not because it's a yearly release. It's something that I don't play as much anymore because I found other rhythm games. It's Just Dance 2020.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there is something important about
this. And this has come out on the Switch, so if you want to get on the Switch, great. If you have been in a coma for almost a decade, you may have realized that it also released on the Wii, and Ubisoft has announced it will be their last Wii release.
This is the final Wii game.
Yeah, I think maybe the only other things that might get released are maybe some sports titles, but I think those might have ended too.
I think they did. I think Ubisoft was the only one for a while.
Yeah, still releasing it on the Wii, and it's finally
crazy.
Time. Like, just to think that there's not going to be a game released on the Wii like anymore, unless somebody gets like real like, I'm going to go back and just for some reason publish a Wii game.
It's going to be fine. People are still buying Mario Kart Wii for some reason.
Yeah. But no new games. Are you guys really like upset? I know I am. Just what am I going to do with the Wii that I don't have anymore?
X the Man says the Wii outlived the Wii U.
Oh my God, it's true.
It's so sad.
The monster.
But it's kind of incredible at the same time. I feel like this is the bookend to quite a legacy for a console, because I think the last time a console really lived this long was the PS2, where they were still releasing games all the way like through the end of the PS3
cycle. Oh,
they were
still producing PS2s up to a certain point, like even in the 2010s. And I was like, what?
Popular system.
Yep. Oh, man. I wonder how long they're going to produce the PS4.
I mean, who knows? If the PS5 architecture is going to be so similar to PS4, I think they'll live side by side for a while.
Yeah.
This is a Nintendo podcast.
For sure. So outside of the Wii being officially dead, there is new life in new games that have a lot of inspiration from older games that are also very cute and are also technically not even the game that it was when it released on other platforms.
Yeah, so this game has an interesting history. It was developed by an aptly titled company called Playful, which is fantastic. This is New Super Lucky's Tale.
New Super Lucky's Tale.
Which is both a reference to New Super Mario Brothers and also just a true statement. So this is an enhanced port, almost sequel, of Super Lucky's Tale, which is also a sequel to Lucky's Tale, which was an Oculus game. So Super Lucky's Tale released on PC and Xbox One, mm-hmm. and that game got a lot of bad reviews. So the studio Playful was like, what if we fixed it? What if we made this a game that we can be proud of? So that started a 16-month development cycle for New Super Lucky's Tale, exclusive to Nintendo Switch. This is a match made in heaven. This game, like, I didn't really know what to expect. I played this game at E3, didn't even realize that it was coming to Switch, because I think it was revealed at E3, like in a sizzle reel. And then it was on the show floor, and Paul and I just went over to the booth because no one was playing it, and I went there, I started playing it, and it blew me away. It was adorable. It felt like a classic 3D platformer from the 64 era, and it's just so charming. It plays great. I love it.
Yeah, there's a lot of elements. So I, got the privilege to watch Brandon play a big chunk of this, the locomotion. I even gotten to, I want to try it because it looks so smooth. The personality, like going to each of the worlds and finding, whether they're worms or they're yetis
or ghosts,
all of these, yeah, all of these characters have are just overflowing with personality. The made up languages they have are beyond incredible.
That include accents?
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of the worms that have a country accent to them,
You can tell that they're country despite the fact that they're not saying anything even remotely understandable.
Yeah, I mean, go look at some gameplay and just listen to some of these worms talk, because it's it'll blow you away. I was cracking up every time they were saying anything.
Even a level where you have to put a country worm band together, or the guys they're practicing in places, you have to bring them to the stage, and then there's an actual song that they sing, and it's good.
Of course that's good.
I would actually listen to it recreationally.
Yeah, give us a recording of that so I can bump that when I'm going to work.
The group comes back together on a future stage, and they're just part of the background. They're just NPCs, and they're singing like almost a barbershop quartet kind of thing, and it sounds wonderful. And me and Dylan were just like, I want to keep listening to this.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
So New Super Lucky's Tale, now that it's actually out, and I've been playing it for a couple days, if you are a fan of Super Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, and or disappointed in Yooka-Laylee, buy this game. It's really good. I think you'll love it.
Yeah, I really hope that I get around to playing it as well.
It's $40 on the Switch, so it's a little bit higher than your typical budget title, but so far I am more than happy with the price I paid, because it's just making me happy. It's a really charming, enjoyable game. It's really bright and colorful, visually very impressive.
Mm-hmm.
When I played it at E3, it ran like garbage. I'm just going to be completely honest about that. So I was a little worried for the full release, because if it was going to run like that, I'm not sure that I would have wanted to buy it. But it does suffer from frame stutters every once in a while. But other than that, it's crispy HD gameplay, and the The frame rate's pretty solid. Mm-hmm. Like, the drops are never when, like, I'm actively platforming. So, like, if I'm moving from area to area, there might be, like, a slight dip. But that's really it.
Right. It looked like it ran pretty well for the most part. And
yeah,
the blips that are there aren't really affecting the gameplay in any negative ways.
To answer X the Man, it does have a physical release. I don't know if it's out. Well, it is out. I saw it at GameStop yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, you can pick it up physically if you want to do that, or download it from the eShop. One of the things that they really focused on when they were making this enhanced remake, 3D camera movement is, like, one of the things they added. And they really worked on Lucky's locomotion, his control. Mm-hmm. Like, when you talk about him looking like he controls buttery smooth, he really, really does. Like, I feel like I'm playing something like Super Mario Odyssey.
Right.
And Mario controls fantastically in that game.
Right.
This is comparable to that, if you ask me.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I am already like 70 to 80% through the game. It's not very long. Just keep that in mind. But, man, it's exactly what Yooka-Laylee should have been the first time.
For sure. Well, I mean, it's not like there aren't other, like, you know, older titles also kind of coming into their own on the Switch and doing
right.
different things and also changing the Switch itself. And there's a few things that we should mention here as well, that on November 29th, I thought this was interesting, that Five Nights at Freddy's 1 and 2 and also 3 are coming to the Nintendo Switch eShop.
All releasing the same day?
All releasing the same day.
So this series gets a lot of flack for a similar reason that Undertale does, and it's just because the fan base can be a little rabid.
A little overwhelming.
A little overwhelming, yes. But don't let that distract you from the fact that these are actually mechanically really good games.
Mm-hmm.
And the different Five Nights at Freddy's games, they all have different gameplay hooks. So, like, Five Nights at Freddy's 1, 2, and 3 are going to be largely different experiences overall. Mm-hmm. I think 1 and 2 are fairly similar, but, like, when you start to get 3 and up, they really start to vary. So if you're looking for some good, you know, quality scares and, you know, a fun game to play in a dark room with your friends, these are great options.
For sure.
I used to work at Chuck E. Cheese's, and, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's has some history that relates to Chuck E. Cheese's. So, you know, these games are kind of close to my heart because of that.
For sure.
In my town, we actually have the only remaining animatronics from Chuck E. Cheese's left in the nation.
Man, it sounds like I have to make a Chuck E. Cheese trip soon then.
Yeah, I wonder, like, if Five Nights at Freddy's or a prior, like, real-life experience has caused all of those animatronics to get ripped out.
Well, I mean, they've always been horrifying.
Yeah, and this really captures that. But I do believe, like, there are actual incidents that may have inspired the direction that the games took.
For sure.
It's so funny, too, because, like, the creator of Five Nights at Freddy's used to make, like, Bible type games and religious type games, but his CG was always kind of not great.
Yeah.
So he took that and then, you know, turned that into his superpower. And, you know, the Five Nights at Freddy's characters look like that.
Right.
Because that's just how he makes things.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm excited to, because I haven't thought about those games in a while. We had this discussion the other day, even before I realized they were coming out on the Switch.
There's a VR title that came out recently.
Yeah. So, that might be something I have to pick up on my Switch and play.
Have you ever played a VR horror game?
Have I? I don't think so.
It really is terrifying.
Like, good.
You got to be prepared.
Well, good. Another game that recently came out, on the Switch, Divinity Original Sin DOS 2. It is getting a free DLC package and a new friend feature. I mentioned this also partially because of the online, like, player invite function on the Switch that hasn't been used by any game
is available
up until Divinity Original Sin 2. I also mentioned it because we started playing the original Divinity Original
on PC.
Sin on
yeah.
PC.
It's good.
And that's something that I'd like to get back to eventually. So these are games you should look out for. They have amazing reviews. And
another important thing to mention.
Hopefully they run well.
Divinity Original Sin 2, unlike the first game, it's actually four players.
Yes.
So the original is just two players, sequel's four players. So if you're looking for like a cool top-down D&D type like adventure fantasy game, this is a great, great game.
Yeah, it's one of those just really, really well organized and, you know, micromanage-y RPGs, but also it's a lot of fun.
It reminded me a lot of Gloomhaven the first time we played, and Gloomhaven is now something you've actually played for the
yes.
first time.
No, it kind of got me back in the mood to like really, really get into yeah. RPGs.
So, yeah, if you're looking for something like that, that's a great get.
So the last thing I have to mention today is actually pretty, I think this one's pretty interesting. It is Tencent has announced that they hope to create console games with Nintendo characters.
So this is an interesting conversation because the last time Nintendo did this was with Philips for the CDI, and we all know how that went. I'm sure it's not going to be like that this time.
Of course.
But, yeah, this is kind of an interesting conversation because China is kind of newer to the console market again mm-hmm. since the ban was lifted, and Switch games are being released there under... They have to be approved, right, before
right.
they can be released. So, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this.
Well, I know that Tencent's, like, their partner for, like... when they launched the Switch in China.
Yes.
So that like that's their connect. And obviously like there's other you know, studios that have come in and been able to use Nintendo's IPs and create games around them and such. So it looks like Tencent is like, oh wow, that would be really cool as well if we could do that. Who knows what that will look like. Maybe one of their like new fighting games. They'll just throw Mario in. I don't know.
That'd be something.
So I just thought that was an interesting thing to mention.
Tencent's been releasing Nintendo content in China under the name IQ, I think.
No, I mean, Tencent is LOL.
Is what?
It's League of Legends. IQ
right.
is something different.
Well, I think that
IQ is just the Nintendo branding
in
China.
Japan. Oh, or Japan. China, thank you. Okay,
yeah.
So... I was wondering about that because the way games have been released in China for, you know, however long has been so different because of the
kind
ban.
Of they try to find ways around, you know, kind of find loopholes to
yeah.
like, release the games.
They've even released some first-party Nintendo games on the NVIDIA Shield.
Yep. Yeah, some like Wii titles,
yeah.
like HD stuff.
And they're actually HD and they didn't release them here.
What the heck?
That's really upsetting. So yeah, that pretty much brings us to the end of news for this week. Do we have any questions?
Yeah,
we're a little late to the tweet.
We have one question. Do we play Madden?
I mean, that's a really easy question for me to answer, and the answer is no, I don't.
I remember playing the older. Some older like football games, some older Madden games, and I appreciated those. It's been a while since I played Madden. I'm not much of a
sports guy.
Sports sim guy.
We also have a question from Santi. Thoughts on the new Vergemen leak? Well, we talked about that in our post or our pre-show that wasn't supposed to be a pre-show, but just to kind of recap it a little bit here, it's not a leak if you're just saying something's not going to be in a video game.
Liar, liar. I made a prediction earlier, and it's going to be right, obviously. I just said, like, it's going to turn out true. Geno is not going to be in the game, and Doomguy is not going to be in the game.
What's funny is, like...
I don't know if that answers your question, Santi.
With this person, like, he's... Whenever he's been wrong, he just edited the things he said in the past and tried to cover up the fact that he was wrong. But people
Bro,
still...
Bro, we already know you're wrong.
I just don't understand why people think it's credible. It's clearly not.
It's a lot of... It's just clickbait.
And that's not to say that Geno and Doomguy, excuse me, are not going to be in the game.
Oh, I think you improved it.
Oh, maybe. they might not be in the game, and that doesn't mean he was right or wrong about it.
Yeah.
If I'm being perfectly honest.
I don't... Man, find something else to do with your time, bro. Like...
Yeah, I mean, unless you're the man is with us here. I'm like, yeah, why do you listen to anything he says?
Whatever, man. There is one more question as well from Joshua Turner at RHG_JoshWT on Twitter. Curious if any of y'all follow Baldur's Gate franchise made by Larian Studios.
A dream release for Switch.
Dream release for Switch 2020-2021 is Baldur's 3, but not many of my friends follow the franchise. I've heard good things about Baldur's Gate.
It kind of falls into that kind of fantasy we were talking about with like Divinity, right?
Well, that's good that you mentioned it because Larian is the developers of Divinity. Series.
Oh, right. I was wondering why they tied together so well. But yeah. No, I've never played a game in that series before. But just knowing that they're developed by the people who made the Divinity series, like, that's all you have to tell me.
There's also, we're talking about Baldur's Gate, I could just mention that there is a version
of Betrayal.
Of Betrayal that is Baldur's Gate.
Betrayal at Baldur's Gate, yep. Yeah. That's been on my list of board games to pick up, actually. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be my introduction.
Might be a good one.
Yeah. But yeah, for sure. Like, you know, I'm into all that kind of stuff. We play Gloomhaven, which, you know, is essentially, you know, Baldur's Gate and Divinity.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's just...
it's a D&D game.
It's a D&D. It's an RPG. It's, I mean, and again, like, it makes me understand things a lot more about just RPGs as well, just the way that kind of you manage... things as like a group and almost lose, but you just barely eke it out and you succeed.
We had an incredible experience with Gloomhaven that sounded very similar to that just yesterday. Play Gloomhaven if you haven't.
That's also very expensive.
It's like a $120 board game. Go in with your party. Like, it's a 4-player party game. Find some people who are going to play with you, split the cost, buy the game, play it. You'll enjoy it. But yeah, that pretty much covers it for Nintendo Stuff episode 58. Sorry we kind of had a hiccup at the beginning of the show.
I don't know. I think it made it better, honestly.
It was the practice run, right? Like, we have experience now, and we got to show you our chops after we got a little bit. Yeah,
we should warm up more often.
Yeah, we'll just do a fake show for half an hour and then get on the mics for real and do a real show. next week we'll have Pokemon Sword and Shield will be out. Hopefully I'll have been playing it a little bit and give you guys a little bit of insight on how I feel about those games. In addition to that, we are working on various projects, all kind of in the same vein. We don't really have a hard release for those because they're kind of more involved than things we typically do. So just know that they're coming.
We're doing things.
We're making videos again.
Woo!
We're doing the thing that we were supposed to be
exercising
doing.
Exercising all our other chops, too, especially with my my music stuff.
Yes, take that as a little bit of a tease as what might be happening.
Tease.
Yes. So with all that in mind, guys, make sure to follow me on Twitter at BabbyBabs. Follow Logan at LoggyDoves. You can follow us as a collective at Break Room Arcade. You can join our Discord server. There's a link in the YouTube description below. We like talking with you guys. It's a pretty active Discord now.
There's always conversations going on.
Yeah, so make sure to do that. We like playing games with you guys, too. So if you ever want to, you know, hop on Smash Brothers or... You know, even, like, games from other platforms. Like, we like playing Apex Legends and stuff like that. So, hit us up. In addition to that, make sure to like and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
I guess so.
You guess so? Yeah, I guess you can do that if you want. If you really like what we do here and you want to help support the show, there are various ways you can do that. You can become a member on the Break Room YouTube channel. You can support us directly on anchor.fm if you listen to the audio versions of the podcast. You can support us on Patreon as well. Mm-hmm. Really, any way you want to help support the show, we'd love it if you did. And if you can't, we just love that you're here.
Mm-hmm.
We always want to stress that. So we will see you guys next week with episode 59 of Nintendo Stuff Podcast. Until then, don't break your backs. Break in the games, but for now,
break time is over.
He did it.
Oh, man.